Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to DEEB for Clark County. My name is Sherry Jones. I'm with the Southwest Washington Contractors Association.
Seth Holling with AKS Engineering.
Ryan Wilson with Wilson Architects.
Dan Weisner, Songbird Homes.
Mike Odrin, McCase DeZito.
Andrew Gunther, PLS Engineering.
Eric Limo, SJ Engineering.
Megan Fletcher, Community Development.
Michaela Rankin, Community Development.
Brent Davis, Community Development.
Naomi Patibanla, Development Engineering.
Brittany Salter, WDFW.
David Jardine, sorry. Go ahead.
Steve Waugh, HSR Capital.
Max Booth, Maddox Transformer.
David Jardine, Public Works.
All right, and online, looks like we have a couple of people.
Jacqueline.
Jeff, are you there?
Yes.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, sorry about that. Jeff Riston with Kingston Homes. I had a lag there, sorry.
And looks like Jose just joined us.
Yes, good afternoon. Jose Alvarez, Community Planning.
And Travis?
Yeah, I'm just listening in. Travis Johnson, PLS Engineering. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. As a reminder, the DEEB meeting is being recorded and the audio will be posted on the DEEB's website. First agenda item is to review and adopt the minutes. Did everyone get a chance to review the minutes from last month?
Madam Chair, I did what there was of them. Looks like we had our audio cut off a couple times on there, but based on what we have, I move for approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
Sure.
All right, moving on to upcoming events. Megan.
Good afternoon. Just wanted to let the DEEB board know that Brian Cass' seat has been posted. So if anyone knows of anyone they want to move into that, that would be great. The information is on the Columbian and on the website. There were no agenda items posted for council work sessions or hearings. The Planning Commission does have a meeting on the 12th, the Commission on Aging for water supplies, and then on the 20th of June, the Planning Commission is meeting regarding the climate element update. And that's all I have.
Any member announcements?
More of a question. At the last meeting, we brought up an issue about the townhouse that the housing options plan and interpretation on the four attached townhouses. And we were basically just told, hold put, the staff's making a determination and it's likely to change. So I was just curious where that's at. I know a few people here, there's been a lot of emails going back and forth on it. And I don't think we've heard of a resolution yet. I know a few people in the audience here are here to talk about that or are concerned about that.
Oh, there she is. I think April's actually the one who can answer that question for you.
In the meantime, I'll ask, has anybody reached out to Les McDonald from CRWD with regards to the open Yeah, somebody has. Oh, okay. Whoever suggested him, I don't know him. Do they want to maybe reach out to him? Anybody? Bueller? somebody suggested.
I can reach out to him.
You can. Terry. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate it.
So you want me to address the interpretation of the townhouses?
Yeah, we had some questions about that. I know we discussed it briefly at the last meeting, and we're told, you know, hold put, there it's probably changing, and we'll hear more about it soon. But haven't heard back. I know a few people here. There's been a lot of emails going back and forth. Quite a bit of concern about it, and yep, just curious where that's at.
Yep, I was hoping to have it done before this meeting, but so it give me 2 more days.
Do you need any help or background on it? Or do you have what you need?
No, I have gone through all of the work sessions and public hearings and seen the communication with the consultant. So working through that right now, because the issue, I understand what the intent is. I am not doubting what the intent is. The part for me is what the plain language says. And somebody else, like a hearings examiner, looking at the plain language and making a decision based on that. And I just want to make sure that I am on solid ground.
Sounds good. A lot of times, things like conditions, code language, it's a small version of it. So there's a lot of background that goes into it. It's kind of like a staff report or decision. You have a condition of approval, and then you have the findings that go into it. And the findings kind of discuss the intent. So if there's any question about the conditions of approval, you go back to the finding and find out what the discussion was, what the intent was. And I would say in something like this, in a legal sense, you'd kind of handle it very similar. And, you know, we even reached out to the consultant who did it, and they're like, yeah, that wasn't the intent. You know, we had meant that it's supposed to be just 4 attached units in a block, so it doesn't have this large, so it's basically a scale. So when you're in these neighborhoods, you don't have 10 attached townhouses. You have only 4 attached, another 4 attached. It was never really intended, only 4 in a development. It's also the guidance from the state. So I just want to make sure that you have all the information, and hopefully we're leaning that direction.
None of that is, I hear what you're saying. It's not what it says. That footnote is not what that says right now. It says units. And so I'm working through all of that, and I have been looking at what the Department of Commerce has given as guidance as well. So 2 days.
I had a question, April.
Yep.
I think there's going to be some other issues that arises, you know, as people pound away at this new code. How should we, you know, handle that? Just, I mean, I've looked at some different things, and some of the, if the clarity of the, you know, 4 units is an issue, I think there's others that as people start working through stuff, I've drawn a project 11 different ways, and I believe that there's conflicts within the way that I understood the code that was developed and the way it is written now. So I think there's going to be more of these things come up. So how do we, I guess that's the question is, okay, if, as we see more of these, do you want people to bring them to Deeb? Do we bring them straight to the county? Do we start making a list to make it to where there's, okay, some code changes that need to be recommended at biannual, you know, code change time?
All 3. Right? With new code? I'm not kidding. I would say all 3 because I didn't write it.
Right.
And I have to interpret it and look at it like a hearings examiner is going to look at it. And I don't want to, I understand what the intent was for the townhome. I wish that intent would have been made more clear in the 6 or 7 public hearings that happened around it. And it didn't. And I listened to every single one of them. So all 3, we're going to find some of those things because it's newly written code.
Okay. I've got some more that I could probably document and get to you then.
And on top of that, we are planning on bringing the townhome through biannual and adding per structure
4 units per structure to clarify that language. But I won't make you wait for 6 months to find out. Okay. 2 days.
Sounds good. Thank you. I guess alongside of that, I believe there was some code sections that were omitted, correct, on that. I think it was with regard to PUDs and site plans. Those code sections weren't included in that adoption. So those will be upcoming.
Yes, we haven't had a schedule yet from community planning as to when they're going to be ready to do that. But I did look at the site plan issue, and the intention for the site plan is clearly stated in the zoning and special use standards, and the changes in the site plan section of the code were essentially reinforcing that. So I think we're okay on that piece. The one piece that is critical is the PUD size, and that will have to wait until the code gets through council.
And just so everyone's aware, that change was dropping the PUD from 6-acre minimum down to 3 acres, so there wasn't that gap. So until the code is fixed, it'll still remain at 6 acres.
Any other member announcements? Okay, we ran out of time, missed it on last month's agenda, but it's the project-specific review that we had talked about previously. It went around in our email, and Mike, did you have any?
Yeah, there hasn't been any further discussion on this. I did send this out to the board and staff. I did not receive any comments from staff. I received a few comments from the board. It was then updated and sent out for a packet at the last meeting, and like you said, we didn't get around to it. I think the main thing here is to note that council requested that we put this together, that they wanted us to have an avenue, a specific, and it's not codified, but a procedure for allowing applicants to come to DEEB to address any issues that arise, whether they be code interpretation issues with staff, road mods, anything along that. Maybe say, hey, we haven't even gone to staff yet. What do you guys think about this? With the understanding that, you know, staff ultimately has the decision-making authority in that regard, because we are an advisory board and we really don't have any decision-making abilities that we have, you know, recommendation abilities. However, I think that what we've provided here will allow DEEB to provide an alternative avenue for applicants that might, you know, maybe there's some confusion, maybe there's I hate to say it, but, and hopefully it's not that case, but confrontation. Hopefully, you know, there isn't anything adversarial happening between applicants and staff, but then this gives applicants or even staff. I don't see any reason why staff couldn't come to DEEB in the same vein to work through some conflicts so that everybody can be on the same page. They can get a unbiased opinion from us. We understand the code. We've been part of code writing. At the same time, we're also in the development industry, and we know how, you know, the interpretation of code can take place, that code cannot fit every single situation uniformly, and that DEEB can then be an avenue for applicants or staff to come to us and say, hey, what do you think about this idea, before maybe staff, you know, rubber stamp something or says this is our decision and that's the way it's going to be. The other aspect of this on the staff side is that they have the benefit of legal counsel, and that that's something that we don't have, but we also have, you know, what works in the real world. So I think that they're, you know, from both sides of this can be beneficial, and it's always been there. It's always been an avenue that applicants have had. They just there just hasn't been Ollie used to say, hey, if you don't agree, take it to Deeb, see what they have to say about it. We've reviewed a couple over the years, but this is something that's a little more formal as far as that's concerned. The only thing that we don't have in here, and I don't know how to do it, is how to get the word out that this is available for people to come to Deeb, petition Deeb, and to hear what they have to say. And if anybody has any thoughts about that, I'd be, I think that that's an important discussion. But for today, I think we're looking to review and maybe formally approve this. I don't know if staff had any more comments about it, at least we get it on the books. If we need to tweak it, we don't have to go through a biannual code review. We can just do it on our own. So I don't know if anybody else has anything to say about this before I would, request a motion.
I think this is really good in terms of how we get the word out. You know, since it has to be something that happens prior to the staff report, I presume that means that it's something that would come up during early issues or one of the other stages. And I wonder if it couldn't just be part of the report that comes out that's issued with those.
Oh, the early issues memo that might
yeah.
be issued, and that there's maybe something in there that talks about.
Yeah, just some sort of standard language or something.
How does staff feel about that?
I feel like we have to be careful that we don't present it as you get this, like, because the staff, like, April would still have to say, yes, this is something that would go to Deeb. So I want to be careful how we word it when we're getting the word out there, that it's not a guarantee just because you have a challenge.
Okay, I think we have a solution to this. It's only staff that can advise applicants that this avenue is available to them. I think you're right. I think that if people see that in there, we'll be inundated. You know, we don't like what staff said, so we're going to come to you and see what you have to say. And it'll be like, yeah, we kind of agree with staff because what you're doing is stupid or something like that. But I think that's right because, the only people that can, suggest that. So I guess it's up to staff to advise the applicants if there is a conflict or anything like that, that this is an avenue they have available to them. I see you thinking, April. Yeah, because it says that right there in the bylaws. The advisory board shall review and comment as requested by the county manager, the BOCC, and or senior staff on project-specific development issues. And so that right there states that, it's up to staff to advise an applicant that, we might be another avenue. And it doesn't come up very often. I remember one that we heard a while back. It was on a road modification. We couldn't even understand what was being requested. And we agreed that, with staff on the denial of the road modification. So, but again, maybe that's not our place to figure out today. We just need to come up with a policy as requested by council, adopt it, and move on.
I move that we adopt it and move it on to the board as they requested so they can take a look at it and provide any comments that they have.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay.
All in favor of the motion to move this on to the council?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Okay. So this is approved by Deeb to move forward. Motion passes.
Okay. And Megan, will you pass that on to council? Thank you.
All right. Next up, we have a road mod review discussion. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Wrong thing. Permitting items is up next. We had a few follow-up things from the discussion a couple months ago that April was going to provide some updates on. April.
Okay, so the E-plan system came up and the fact that we're running off two systems. And so I think I described it that day, but we're running with two systems. I haven't integrated the two systems. I plan on doing that sometime in the future, but it's just not now. So Project Docs went through an update. I didn't want Project Docs to break LMS. LMS is going through an update, and I didn't want that to break Project Docs. So I do plan on integrating and having an integrated system. I know that that's my biggest customer complaint. It's just not going to be right now. But what also came out of that is what we have started doing is pulling a report for lost projects. So you guys had talked about how if you don't email us, we don't know that you uploaded and or paid. So right now we are pulling that report and we're going through old projects of to make sure that anything that has been uploaded has at least had been reviewed or someone going through it. So doing that for both development engineering and building permit. Because there are several things you need to do. Now I would say building permit, it looks a little iffy right now just because we just went through that code update, and so we have a lot in the queue. The supervising engineer seeing it too late in the process, I have not come up with a fix for that yet because the person that's reviewing it cannot see it ahead of time because that right now that's on most cases that is Steve. And I already addressed the notification when you pay. Mylar. So right now, so it brought up that why are we still requiring Mylar and construction and as-built? So engineering is all project docs. And so ENGs are all project docs, no paper whatsoever. As-built will need paper for the inspection, but we're allowing those, I believe, on 11 by 17, and they don't have to be Mylar. The only reason that we were making Mylar have to happen was we had a process in place that said if you started it during the time that we still use Mylar, then we want you to go through the whole project, but we've stopped that. It's paper. And I think it's 11 by 17. And construction. Well, yeah, because construction plans are all digital at this point. So it's just as-built. Yes. I think that, view the deadline in Project Docs. You want to be able to view the deadline in Project Docs. People especially liked that in the city of Vancouver, and I'm working on it. I think that's it. Oh, mechanical and plumbing. I haven't attached that one yet. The wanting to mechanical and plumbing all together with the like combo permits with the commercial. I haven't got to address that yet.
Thank you, April.
Do you have any idea on when the integration on LMS and Project Docs might happen?
I bet you it's at least a year.
At least a year, okay.
Can they be integrated without too much trouble, or are we looking at a brand new something to take over for both?
In theory, you could do a light integration, which is what I'd want to do, just at the beginning and the end. So just to, right after you're done applying, uh-huh. It would push you through for uploading into Project Docs.
Okay.
And then at the end, when you're ready to pay, those mm-hmm. would be the two points that I would want to integrate with. That alone costs $100,000 and can break the system. And so we haven't talked extensively through it because I bet you that they would want at least one more touch point throughout it. But I haven't talked seriously with them yet. And I'm glad I didn't because we just went through an upgrade with Project Docs and I'm glad I didn't do it because we were Project Docs guinea pig and it wasn't super smooth.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Any other questions for April on permitting items? No. Okay, awesome. All right, now we are moving on to Rosemont. And Naomi has joined us today. Thank you, Naomi, for being here.
Thank you for having me. So a couple of items were presented to us, and I'm just going to go and summarize my responses to each of those questions. On the first bullet related to current process, where we utilize our engineer to present the mods to the committee, we utilize the engineer's written narrative and associated plans when we review each road modification. They are mostly reviewed from the technical perspective, and all requests are discussed item by item as presented by the applicant's engineer. We believe that it's going very efficiently. We are able to review about 4 to 5 projects during our typical weekly meeting and reach a resolution and be able to provide comments back to the applicant's engineer. We utilize multiple disciplines during our review and discussion. We have staff from engineering, traffic, transportation, planning, and construction, looking at the modifications, the plans, the general vicinity map, and how circulation of the site works out. We have received requests in the past to meet with the road modification team. We did facilitate the meeting where the engineer presented the road modification to us, and we only performed that meeting as a avenue to listen to the applicant's modification. All discussions and decisions were held separately with staff. Any questions on the first item?
Okay. I guess if there is an opportunity, as I, in the past, I thought I'd heard that we weren't able to make a request in front of it to speak directly, but
I would prefer not.
Okay.
Because you put it in your written narrative. I mean, if we're trying to get through some, like right now, she'll talk about it. We are trying to streamline the process, but I can't even find time in a road mod discussion for that discussion because we have so many road mods right now.
Sure.
So if we start allowing people to be able to present, it's gonna ruin the timeline.
And I think, you know, for 90% of the road modifications, they're pretty straightforward. There isn't much need. However, the ones that are a little bit more complex, there's, you know, just a lot that's lost in that translation. You know, you can put only so much into the written documentation before you don't have time as staff to review that written request. And so I think just a summary of it verbally to the team could help to clarify it and make it almost more streamlined there. And then also when we've gotten feedback sometimes from the team, it's coming through the development review engineer. And so sometimes we don't feel like we get a complete picture of what the discussion was. And so then it feels like we're just, you know, throwing another dart to see if we can, you know, meet what the concerns were from that team. So
I see that.
Thank you for the feedback. As we review and analyze our processes, we'll definitely consider that feedback. All right, moving on to the second bullet, a request to publish the proportionality study and resolution for the developers and request for the case study data. April and I have talked, and we are looking to publish the 2008 resolution on our webpage just to make it easily accessible for the community. A quick search that I did, I could not find the case study data that supported the 2008 resolution. It could be because it was probably done on paper and then records. You have the case study? Okay. Is it in paper or electronic?
Well, I can scan it and send it over. There's quite a bit of information. I'll try to like pare it down. There's a lot of duplicates. There's like
okay.
My notes in it, but I've got all the materials from the Dean meeting when it was done, so I can get
okay.
it to you.
I would appreciate that.
Yeah, Steve Schulte, that was his baby, so he worked on it. I don't know if you guys still have access to, like, his digital files somewhere on your server, but that's where you'd find the original files. But I do have copies of everything,
okay.
At least what that we got. So.
Yeah. So once we have that, we'll look through it to see how they came to the decision, and hopefully be able to utilize that for future resolution assessments. Personally, myself and working with our key stakeholders, I am taking the lead on analyzing the current process and what we might be moving towards. So it's very early at this time, I would say, but I hope to give deep updates as we move along the process. Any questions or feedback on the second bullet? Timely feedback on the road modifications. This is something we are hearing a lot. I've been in this role for 3 months, and I've heard a lot about that. Again, like April said, we are analyzing process and how best we can provide feedback to the engineers. And then when the resubmittals come in, how best we can support your projects, your requests, and meeting code, county's code compliance. So I think it's work in progress, and I hope we can reach that Goldilocks zone of review and permitting, but it's in progress. Any feedback on bullet three?
I guess one item there, just the way the City of Vancouver sometimes handles some of their road modifications have been, I've seen where they've just in their pre-op report said, hey, this driveway location, while it doesn't meet standards, we understand it's at the best location, and there isn't a need for a road modification, you know, formal application on this. And it might be that there's some, you know, easy items like that that the county could consider, but, you know, that would help to hopefully reduce the workload for that team.
So. Yeah, I agree. I think some of our review might also be tied to how our code asks to process road mods. I don't know if it can be a one-person decision the way it's written in code. I believe it's the committee that needs to make that decision. Not a committee, a team. So we'll look into that aspect too.
I'll just throw cross-circulation as the other one that seems to come up on that a lot, and it's a technical road mod that's required for those. Mm-hmm. But in a lot of situations, I mean, There are some certainly where cross circulation as a technical road mod makes sense, but I mean, there's so many others where it really doesn't.
I'd like to just piggyback on that a little bit. I remember a project that I had it's been quite a while ago, probably 15 plus years ago, that in the pre-app, staff said cross circulation, it spelled out the code, and then it said at the bottom or something like that, it said it's clear based on the existence of existing wetlands and critical areas and the development, the nature of adjacent development, that cross circulation cannot be meant, therefore you do not need to address it. And it's like, whoa, that's cool. One last thing we have to do. So I think the city's done similar stuff like that. It's like it's blatantly obvious that this cannot happen. You know, you can't meet cross circulation. Therefore, you don't need to go through the process of proving that you can't meet cross circulation. You know, and pay the fee. And you know, road mods aren't cheap. I mean, road mods aren't cheap not only from a fee standpoint, but from a preparation standpoint.
I guess one other item, I don't know if there's a way, often if there's an issue with road modification, it comes up at early issues. And sometimes the hearing is scheduled so closely after that there isn't really sufficient time to, you know, have that any kind of back and forth. And I don't know, is there a way to even look at the road modification earlier in the process and instead of waiting to issue it with, you know, planning issues at early issues?
I know the current process is like you stated. I think as we evaluate the process, we'll see if there are other options, especially for the ones that don't trigger technical. But I'll have to work with Brent on making sure it works for his land use process as well.
Thanks.
All right, the last bullet was requesting to have a procedure for DEEB involvement. I think it ties into the document that you had for the DEEB review process. As I work with our team towards road modifications, we're happy to present any findings or recommendations we have to Deep for input. The larger conversation is above me, so I can at least present what the road modification recommendations are to Deep.
And again, it would be staff recommending, should there be issues with the road mod committee's findings on a road mod, for them to then say, we know you don't agree, here are our findings, here's why we made the decision that we did. There is another avenue, you can bring it before DEEB, should they choose to hear it. Maybe they have a different take on it. But it's staff would have to initiate that.
I should have brought this up earlier, but I'm just thinking about it now as you say that. So let's say that happens. And let's say, and maybe I don't want to what if it to death, but you don't, like, because you, let's say you don't currently work for a developer on that project, so you're not it's not necessarily a conflict of interest, but what if you don't want to, and tell me, I don't know, I'm just wondering, but what if you don't want to vote against that developer because you might want to work for them someday or work with them someday?
To that, I would say there's a certain level of professional integrity that needs to be maintained. I think every member of the DEEB exhibits that to maybe even a higher level than other consultants might. And that is, I understand your concern, absolutely. There's a section in here about recusal as far as conflicts of interest are concerned. If one of our firms is seeking work with that particular developer, they could do the same thing.
Well, and I wouldn't worry. It's not as much as your integrity as in, or would you not be worried that that developer would be upset that you voted against them or their project?
No, we run into this all the time. I mean, I don't know how many times questions don't get asked to staff because we tell our clients right off, it's not going to get approved. I mean, if you really want us to push it, it's a bad idea. So we weed out so many of these things before they get to you, most consultants do. So I don't know, I'm pretty used to telling clients, no, they can't do something or they shouldn't do things. It is part of the business. And that's why, you know, you also try to keep them out of trouble and make sure the project goes smoothly. And we advise them all the time. So I don't think there's any real issue with that.
The other part of that.
Terry has something to say, too.
Oh, online. Go ahead, Terry.
I was just going to say, I know that we all, it's helpful to hear other perspectives, given, you know, we can see our own and then sometimes we don't see others. And in regards to, I would say that the larger concern is actually for us, and when we do projects, is us upsetting staff and then staff's then response to us in the projects that we do. I would say that's a lot from our, I know from my side, I'll just speak for me. I don't want to speak for anyone else, but I know that that's a concern. And so that's something I would say, if anything, that's the issue. That would be the case, is that you would defer to staff because you don't want to ruffle staff's feathers and then have your project looked at potentially differently. So I, as it relates to other people in the private side, we're not, speaking for me, I'm going to be supportive of something that's rational and makes sense, and try to suggest maybe a potential compromise or pathway that could help to provide a solution but fits within code. That would be the perspective, but also being very wary and understanding of the complexities of things. So I just would say that, like, just to give another side of it, April, for you to kind of understand.
Any other thoughts, questions?
Yes. So as you go through these 45 road mods a week, is there anything that leaps out that is consistent that may warrant a code change or at least some kind of prescriptive approach to avoid
similar road modifications every time? I mean, or is each road mod unique in its own?
I'll answer that one. Jennifer did that analysis for you because we asked that about this time last year.
Yep.
And she was actually surprised, but she said basically unique on its own. Each road mod is unique, and the topography and what is being asked is she said we've already weeded out the.
Perfect. Okay, great.
I think Mike brought up a good point earlier on the cross circulation. Like that might be something, even if there's just a few of them we can get rid of for you. And I guess what I see is I think there's frustration by staff based on the workload. And I've even heard it from talk to them. It's like, and why can't they do this? Why do we have so many road mods? And the reality is these projects are complicated. And the smaller projects that we're getting now, these infill ones with existing development, just because they're smaller, they're actually more complicated. There's more reasons for it takes more time, more road mods, more exceptions. They're difficult. And we get into some of these smaller projects and doing the changes that we're doing by not expanding the boundary, we're forcing development on the most challenging parcels. So if there's something like the cross circulation one, whoever it was, I mean, we could put in the code or even a policy. It says, cross circulation unless blocked by critical areas or existing development. That could be something that we can just eliminate those road mods. There's turnarounds for the L-shaped hammerheads. It's outright allowed in the fire code. And what we say is, you got to ask the fire department. Fire department says every time, it's right here on our table, it's allowed. Yeah, there you go, Appendix D. So it's allowed. So there's things we can do, and we could even say, these are only allowed in limited situations where the geometry allows for it, but it could be put in the code so you don't have to deal with those anymore. Access spacing. Every site pretty much has to have some kind of access, but putting in their guidance on what your process is to go through, selecting that location, as far from the nearest intersection as possible, balancing things. That might be a more challenging one where you still need road mods, but I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what we can do to help you guys, too, and make it so you don't have so many road mods and that frustration level comes down, because I think when people get frustrated by the amount, you tend to jump, I think, maybe towards the no's, and I've seen that over the years as the number of them have gone up. So I don't know, what can we do? We're just here as a resource and kind of brainstorming. So
I think I'll be curious to hear when you go back and look into what is the policy or rules that you have to do. To see if that'll alleviate some of that, because if there's some of these basic ones that, like they've been talking about, that don't even have, like, we just knock them off, and that's just a misunderstanding about how it's supposed to be, I think that'll help a lot. So I'll be curious to hear back on that.
Thank you. I hope that as I develop the policy, I can address that.
I just want to chip in that what Seth said originally as far as the ability to sort of present the challenges of a road modification to the team, I think has value in terms of saving everyone time in the long run. But there's a lot of road mods where it's not really needed, but there are complicated road modifications where it could be stormwater considerations, it could be any number of things. We can describe it as well as we can in a narrative and with some exhibits, but some of these challenges are complicated. Matching into an existing cross section that's adversely crowned or that doesn't have a true 2% crown, and how are we going to resolve that? There's just any number of complicated situations that come up, and like Eric said, they're just becoming all the more frequent. We're dealing with unique scenarios on a regular basis, and we can explain it the best we can in text, but there's nothing like actually being able to talk to somebody to walk through the complexity of the situation. So,
and to add to that, often we've looked at many alternatives as we're preparing the proposal, and sometimes staff will come back and say, well, how come you didn't do this? And we've looked at it, and often just a quick response to say, hey, that's been considered. So staff understands that. And I think, you know, that's where probably the most value would come from, the ability of being there in person or on a meeting. So.
One other thing I've noticed is the length of the road mods have gotten longer and longer based on situations that we've dealt with over the years. So they tend to be this template now, and they're really long, and there's a lot of fluff in there that's probably not really, really applicable, but we have to say it because that's what has been requested by staff. But you'll get like 6 pages when you can probably summarize it in a paragraph. And you guys have to then look through those 6 pages to find the real information. So I don't know if there's something we can do to like summarize it, like kind of like I said, like here's the condition and then here's the findings, here's the background stuff. But if there's something we can do to kind of make it easier on you as well with the length of them, if there's a summary, if it's real simple. But we're always, when we've done that in the past, we try to simplify it and then it gets denied. It's like you have one shot to put everything you possibly can in. So we write you a book and then you guys are stuck reviewing it. And to tell you the truth, I don't know how you can read them all, and you probably don't then, and you may miss the pertinent information. I've seen that before. It's like, it's in there. It's in this line down here, when if it was a summary, you guys would see it right away. But.
Any other discussion? Questions? No? Awesome. Thank you, Naomi. Okay, that was it for our agenda items today. Public comment.
This is Travis with PLS. We've had a lot of issues with road mods lately. We've got a current project, and after fully complete, we submitted our road mods, and we didn't find out till a month and a half after a fully complete that they all were denied. We spent, I don't know, probably 2 months meeting with everybody, and I think we were the ones that got to meet with the road mod committee. All 5 of the road mods were denied, and ultimately, after meeting with the road mod committee, 3 road mods were approved and 2 are still denied. So I mean, we're having a lot of problems with road mods at the moment. So I don't know what we can do to make it better, but we can help. We will.
Thank you, Travis. Any other public comment?
This is Phil Wiest with Gin Group. I'd like to just reiterate what Travis said. We've had some real challenges with road modifications through Clark County as well. And I'd like to suggest that staff take a harder look at how road mods are being processed within Clark County. To my knowledge, the Road Mod Committee isn't a creature of Clark County Code. It's a structure that's been built up by staff. I don't know that there are any published timelines or procedures that the committee follows. It seems very inefficient to me, and I know it's delayed multiple projects the Gin Group has presented over the years. I think comparing that to the city of Vancouver, where typically roadway modifications are handled by 1, perhaps 2 staff members. Decisions are very quick and timely based on good engineering practice and common sense. As your talented, experienced engineers on the D board have said, they work with their clients to come up with reasonable engineering-based solutions before applications ever hit the county. So on that issue, I think it deserves maybe a deeper dive. Looping back to the issue of townhomes and the interpretation of the code, just one comment on that. I know I look forward to the reinterpretation because I think it's important, but I think the approach to interpretation is also important. I think staff had indicated that they were looking at the code from a perspective of a hearings examiner, and respectfully, I disagree with that approach. The county, in adopting the middle housing ordinance, had specific policy objectives, and the county and staff are not a hearings examiner. There's a hearings examiner to interpret the code. I think the county's role is to look at the code and look at the intent of the code and offer an interpretation that meets, that's within the code as written and meets the policy objectives. If a hearings examiner or a subsequent appeal disagrees, so be it. But I think it's the county staff's role to try to implement the policy of the county in implementing the middle housing code. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, hearing none, we will adjourn. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Quick reminder, DEEB meeting is pushed back a week in July because it falls on the 4th of July, so we're not meeting until July 11th.